Playhouse. Tonight's story recreates the tense atmosphere of tunnel building, bringing to life the hard-living, hard-working sandhogs who labor underground.
He wouldn't understand. Me, a sandhog. Me, Joe Redman, his old man, and a sandhog from the day I was old enough to lift a shovel full of muck.
That was Joe Redman speaking, having his say about his life work. But his wife, Laura, took another view.
When Steve come home last night with the clay dried on his shoes and in his hair, Joe, it was like somebody'd come to me and said he was dead.
Yes, and of course there was Steve himself. Steve, who took an entirely different attitude.
This is sandhogging the way it ought to be. Speed. 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 Yeah, take it easy. Be careful. Well, sure, if you're an old woman. This is the way to make tunnels. Drive. Drive. Drive.
Yes, tonight, Author's Playhouse presents a story of men who live their working hours in a world unknown to us. A world beneath the Earth's surface, where brawn and skill and cunning combine to fight the ever-lurking threat of sudden death. In response to many requests, Author's Playhouse repeats its presentation of Borden Chase's gripping story, High Air.
Laura, you're all steamed up over nothing.
Our boy going to work in a tunnel? Turning sandhog is nothing?
Steve was born to be a sandhog, the same as me and my old man before me.
I hate that kind of talk. Not true. That's all Steve has heard from you ever since he was born. And it's what drove him into that tunnel.
Nothing drove him there. Nothing but wanting to be a sandhog, the same as me. He got that job on his own hook. He was in the tunnel before I even knew he was thinking about hitting Big Tim Martin for a place on his gang.
Then you gotta see he gets out of the tunnel. I want my boy kept from all the things I've seen happen to sandhogs. Men I've had at our table one day and heard you tell me the next were dead. Or having the bends. Twisted into screaming knots that look like no man should look. You gotta make Steve get out of that tunnel, Joe. You gotta.
Now look, Laura, look. 2 months and the kid's vacation is over. He'll have to go back to school then anyway. And that's time enough for him to quit.
It's not this job I'm thinking of, Joe.
Then what are you making all this fuss about, will you tell me?
It's the jobs that'll come after this one. One job after another. Until the one that'll kill him. Like someday a job will kill you.
No job's going to get me. I don't use my back when I'm working. I use my head.
The job killed your father. The day we were married. I don't want that for Steve. I won't have it for him.
Then tell him to quit tunneling yourself.
He won't listen to me. But he will listen to you, Joe.
Well, I'm not going to tell him to quit, so don't ask me again.
Joe, this is the last time I'll ask it of you. Make Steve quit that tunnel.
Now, you heard what I said, Laura, and you know that I'm no good at changing my mind. Now, forget it, will you? And listen to something that come in a letter I got at the tunnel today. It's from Frank Weber. You remember that little limey what worked with me on that case on job out west? Here, I'll read it to you. He says, there is a tunnel starting under the East River in 2 weeks. And you could do good for yourself if you was here now. There is hardly no good sandhoggers here right now, and bonuses is being gave to old-timers like I and you. It will be, anyhow, a 2-year job. You remember Pete Wozniski, who got the bends last winter and died. This is all I got to say now, so we'll close, Frank Weber. Yeah, sounds like it ought to be pretty good, Laura, especially that bonus. What do you think about me looking into it, huh?
You do whatever you want.
Good, good. We'll start east at the end of the month, right?
You'll maybe go east.
How do you mean that?
I'm staying here, Joe.
Even if I go on this job Weber wrote about?
I'm staying here. Don't make any difference if you go east or don't. I'm staying here with Steve.
Oh. Well, jobs with extra dough ain't laying around every day. I'm going east.
Dear Laura, this is the third letter I have wrote to you since I come east on this job. If you are not answering them because you are sore, all right. But I have thought it all over about Steve. And if you still feel like you did about him sandhogging, I will see what I can do about keeping him away from high air. You said he would listen to me, and if he will, I will figure out some way to do like you want. There is an engineering course at Columbia here that Steve could take when he's through high school. This job is paying extra good, and I have already started putting money away for Steve's education.
Dear Joe, I have not answered your letters, Joe, because there isn't any answer to them. You stole my son from me, and you can never give him back to me. He worked in the tunnel here all summer. There is clay ground into his fingers where the knuckle joints make those little wrinkles. It is like your hands, Joe, and every sandhog's hands. You can send Steve to college, but something that is bigger to him now, bigger even than even you are, will send him back underground. I will not write again, Joe. You have stolen Steve from me, and I can never, never forgive you for that.
Frank, where are you heading for?
To the store down the corner for some gaspers. Come along with me, aren't
you? No, I better not. I heard that one of the boys was looking for me for something, and I want to see if he's in the company restaurant. Come on, get your smokes in there.
Oh, they got no English gaspers, Joe. Nothing but them Yankee mix.
Yeah.
Hey, chum, how's the nipper these days?
Nipper?
Yeah, nipper.
Oh, you mean Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
He's a thundering big nipper now, Frank. He's finishing his third year at Columbia in the spring.
Gone, you're spoiling a proper sand dog, making a engineer out of a lad.
That's why he's in school, to keep him away from high air. I made a mistake once about him, and I won't again. He'll never be a tunneler.
How? Big Tim Martin said he had the makings of a good sand dog when he and him was on the Detroit job.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be getting them gaspers now. His shift's going down about half hour.
Okay, Frank. Be seeing you.
All right, Hal.
I'm telling you,
I'd caught the spade queen for 300
pinnacles. Hey,
Tim.
Oh, hi, Joe.
You looking for me, Tim?
Why, yeah.
Well, the fella said I could find you in the company restaurant, Tim, so I come right over. What do you want?
I didn't want you particular, but there is somebody here maybe you'd kind of like to chin with.
Yeah? Who's that?
The fellow over there, a couple of tables. The one with his back to us.
No. Say, it looks like... No, it couldn't be.
Go on over and see who it is.
Sure, Tim.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if I'd caught that spade queen, I'd have you fellas yelling like a busted air horn.
Hey, excuse me, but Big Tim said you wanted to... Steve.
Hello, Dad.
What are you doing here, Steve? What have you got those boots on for and that helmet?
Well, I'm back making tunnel, Dad. Look, how about sitting down?
Yeah. Here, I've been glad because you almost finished your third year at Columbia. All this time, I kept you out of high air, and then I walk in here and find you.
Yeah.
So you had to come back, eh, kid? Couldn't keep away when they put a few pounds of air on the job, eh? Why?
I don't know, Dad. Maybe just because my name's Redmond, same as yours. But all I want to be is like you. I want to dig tunnel, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I was hoping it'd be different with you, Steve.
Oh, now look, Dad, you're not going through all that stuff.
No, I guess not. Wouldn't do any good. You're here, you got your mind made up, you're going sand hogging, and that's that. I don't want it that way, Steve. It's one thing, though.
What's that?
Your mother, Steve. Does she know that you're here?
No, Dad, and... Well, maybe it'd be better if we didn't talk about her, huh?
Yeah, maybe it would. But we're going to talk about her for a minute just the same. Steve, you know how long it's been since I've seen her?
5 years, isn't it?
Just. And it's 5 years since I let you work in a tunnel for the first time. Letting you do that, not making you quit, is why your mother and I are like we are.
Yeah, Dad, I know.
She said I stole you, Steve. I tried to make up for it. I sent you to college. Tried to keep you away from high air and make an engineer out of you, but... well, it didn't work. You're back. I can't do no more. Hey, who gave you the job?
Big Tim Martin, Dad. He's taking me in with his gang on the next shift.
Yeah? And the one ahead of mine, eh? Say, wait here just a minute, Steve.
Hey, Joe, what's new?
Hiya.
Hi there, Joe. I hear your kids over there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And there's 40 jacks and a peanut oil.
Hey, Tim.
Huh?
You got my kid on the next shift.
Yeah, yeah. Good husky lad he's grown into since I had him out of the Detroit job.
Now look, Tim. I want to change over to his shift.
Huh? Well, suits me swell. You and him and me, we work good together,
yeah.
Sure. And besides, you can talk good.
Yeah, how do you mean?
Well, there's a newspaper guy going down with us, kind of publicity. I was figuring I'd have this monkey on my neck, but if you're going down with my gang, I'll hand him over to you, okay?
Sure, sure. Why not?
Okay, give him 5 minutes and brush him off, Joe. He'll have a belly full of high air by then anyway.
All right, Tim. And thanks about changing me over.
Oh, forget it, forget it. See you at the cage, Joe. Now, let me see. I got a pinochle, 40 jacks, and a merry gin trump. That's enough, Mel, to put me out if you play your hand.
Well, Steve, that's settled.
Hey, wait a minute, Dad. You didn't tell Big Tim to lay me off.
No, what good would that do? You'd only go down with one of the other gangs. I just fixed it so I could work your shift, that's all.
Oh, meaning you don't trust me alone in the heading.
Steve, I might as well speak out.
Yeah.
I don't want you here on account of just one thing.
What's that?
Well, I'll tell you. I wrote you a letter.
I got it yesterday.
Yeah. I said in the letter that we was getting well down under the river. That was a mistake. I ought not to have mentioned the tunnel, but I did. You got the letter yesterday, the day you signed up to go back making tunnel, on snap judgment.
Well?
Well, that shows up a bad thing about you, Steve. You move too fast. You don't think enough first. Everything you do has got to be done quick.
I know, Dad,
yeah,
but...
going too fast. Guessing wrong, because you don't take time to think out what you're doing. That kind of stuff kills men under the river, son.
Now listen, Dad. Getting yourself put in my gang so you can play nurse to me is bad enough. But if you're going to treat me like I'm
all
a baby,
right,
that's a...
All right,
yeah,
come on,
looks
go,
like you're going to have to save it, kid. Our ship's going down.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Let's go. Hey! Hey, Joe!
Yes, Tim?
Here's the newspaper fella. Name's Randall.
Yeah.
This is Joe Redmond, Randall.
Yeah, I'm glad to know you, Redmond.
How are you?
All right, you birds. Come on, shake a leg. Come on, let's get going.
Well, where do we go from here?
Out to the shaft. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, Steve.
We go down to the tunnel in this elevator, ain't Redmond?
Yeah, yeah, only it's a cage.
Oh.
Hey! Hey, get that gate open, somebody. It's cold up here, you know? All right, come on, come on. Climb on, boys, climb on. Hold
on. Hey, don't shout, boys.
Wait a minute. Give him a highball, Tim. All right, Jenny. Hey, cut the rope. That's it.
End of the line, Randall.
Okay. Now what?
Just follow the gang.
Well, you guys. Come on. Step on it. Get me with me now,
Jerry. Now that concrete wall up ahead there is the bulkhead closing this end of the tunnel, Randall.
Yeah? Well, what about those three doors in it?
Well, they open into the airlock. The first one is the muck lock, where they bring out the loaded cars loaded with muck. The door on the right's the man lock. That's where we go through to the tunnel. The other is the emergency lock.
I see. Holy smoke, what was that?
Big Jim just signaled the lock tender that we're ready to go into the lock. You see, it had 40 pounds of pressure in it, and that had to be blown out before the door could be opened.
I see.
We go in there for a minute while they bring the pressure back up to 40 pounds, like where we work in the tunnel.
Okay, okay, let's go in, fellas. Come on, in you go.
Now what, Redman? Well, just sit down here on the bench alongside of me. Now, there's 40 pounds per inch, per square inch working pressure here in the tunnel, see?
Yeah.
Now, this lock that we're in has a door at the tunnel end, the one that we just came through.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before we can go into the tunnel, the air pressure's got to be built up to 40 pounds in here. It don't take long going in, but coming out, you got to sit here in the lock while the pressure's pulled down gradually to what it is outside, 15 pounds. That's atmospheric pressure.
I see.
See, taking it slow gives the air that's soaked into your bodies a chance to seep out gradually. If you get decompressed too fast, you can get a bubble of nitrogen lodged in your blood or maybe in your spine.
And that's when you get the bends, isn't it?
Yeah. And any time your wife starts to tell you what it's like having a baby, you just tell her that...
All right, Pop, come on, open her up.
Now get ready, Randall. Here comes the compressed air. Swallow fast, Randall. Grab your nose. Hold it tight. Blow air up into your head. It equalizes the pressure.
Okay. Say, what makes it so hot in here all of a sudden?
The air compression. High air's always hot.
Leave the tunnel door open, one of you guys. All right, let's go. Come on, seat open. Come on. Thank
you. Look, Randall. You keep going straight ahead with the gang, and I'll be right behind you with the kid here.
Okay. I'll just walk around up here.
All right. How's it feel, Steve, getting back in high air?
Oh, swell, Dad. Gee, there's something about a tunnel. I used to think about it all the time in school, and then when you said in your letter you were down into the river, well, gee, I had to come back.
Yeah? Well, you're welcome to it. I hope I never see the inside of another tunnel after this one's done. Sometimes I think I won't either.
Oh, don't make me laugh, Dad. As long as they build these things, you'll be down in a meeting high air.
Maybe. Listen, kid. When did you hear from your mother?
Well, last week, I think it was, Dad.
She ever mentioned me?
Sure, lots of times.
She does? What'd she say?
Well, different things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, next time you write her, just
tell
her...
Hey, there's the hit. Oh, boy, it'll be swell working a pocket again, Dad.
Yeah. Better keep that reporter from getting in the way or maybe getting hurt. You go on up to the shield, and I'll be with you since I get rid of Randall.
Yeah, sure, Dad.
Hey, Randall.
Yeah?
Hey, you better stick back here with me.
Okay.
Yeah, here we are.
Okay, but say, give me an idea what this is all about, will you?
Well, right here... We're maybe 100 feet out under the river. As far as we've made tunnel, there's concrete all around to keep out the river.
Oh, cool.
Up there at the heading is the face. That's wet sand, mostly.
I see.
Now, there's a big metal sleeve fitted around the inside of the concrete right at the heading. Huh? It's like a big biscuit cutter, you see?
Yeah.
It's shoved ahead maybe a foot at a time with hydraulic jacks cutting through the sand. Now, we take out the sand a little at a time. They shove the sleeve ahead, pour concrete back of it, and... Well, that's making tunnel.
Yeah, but what's all that business with the planks and hay up there at the end where you're digging?
Well, there's a river on top of us, Randall, trying to get in the tunnel. Now, we got 40 pounds of air to hold it back. The water in the sand at the face helps to hold it together. But if the whole face was bare, no planks and no straw, the sand would start caving in of its own weight.
I see.
Now, laying them boards against the sand and bracing them in place with the jacks... And packing around the boards with hay keeps the sand from breaking down where we don't want it to.
I get it. Hey, but look, suppose the sand did start to break down, as you say.
Shut up.
Hey, take it easy, will you, Redman? What's biting you?
I'm sorry. You're talking like you were is like talking about punctures when you're driving a car. It's asking for it.
Asking for what?
A blow. A break in the tunnel face big enough to let the air out and the river in. So you get caught by the water and drown. Or maybe you get blown up through the break. Through the river bottom, the river, and 50 feet in the air. With your bones and your body all mushed up together. Well, maybe if it comes slow enough, you got a chance to stop a blow. You just throw everything you can lay hands on into the break and the air drags it out of sight. Shovels, boards, hat, your boots, your clothes. Until, if you're lucky, something jams... just right across the hole and stops it up.
I get it. Something, anything, to plug up the hole that's letting the water in while it's letting the air out.
Yeah. Hey, you better hike on back to the lock now. I gotta get up to the heading and work my pocket. You know, we're only down here an hour to a shift.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'll be on my way. I've got about all this heat down here I can use anyhow. Thanks a lot, fella.
Yeah. And don't let the lock tender run you through too fast.
Well, blimey, if it ain't the old chum Joe. About time you decided to do some work.
Yeah. Well, I had Big Tim change me over to this shift so I could work with my kid here. Oh, this is Frank Weber, Steve.
Hiya.
Hi, Joe. I thought you said he was in some blooming college.
He was, but he's sandhogging now. Let's quit jawing and get some tunnel made. Hey, kid, your help. We've got plenty of hay and boards.
Oh, yeah, plenty, Dad. He's over so I can get started shoveling with him.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Wait. Wait till I see how this sand feels. Hey, I don't like the feel of this stuff. It's changed since yesterday.
Changed how, Dad?
I'm not sure, but it don't feel right. We had good ground so far, but it looks like we've run into a glacial deposit.
Well, what difference would that make?
Yeah, you wouldn't know about that, would you? It'd make plenty of difference. It means gravel instead of sand. Stuff that slides down if you even look at it too quick. And like a sieve for the air to leak through, and the river, too.
Blimey, he started already. Your father's like a blooming old lady, Steve. And with you in the tunnel, he'll be a bloody caution. The face is all right, Joe. It's you that's balmy.
Maybe. But I'm telling you, it don't look good. That gravel slides too easy. I wouldn't want to dig into gravel like this with too many boards out of the face.
Oh, don't be a crepe hanger, Dad. This place is okay. Look at it. Cuts like cheese.
Easy, Steve. You got a river over your head that's crazy to get in here.
Like a blooming old woman, I told you.
Take it easy. Be careful. Look out for this. Look out for that. Sure. If you're an old woman, speed. That's the stuff. Big tunnel. Drive. That's sand hogging. Where? Ought to be. All right. Give me a board.
All right,
Steve. That's it. Now, give me a little hay. Plenty of hay.
Okay, boys, come up with hay. Here's
some hay.
All right, swing that jack to me. Come on.
Where's the
jack
over here, boys?
All right, shucks, Dad. This is all right. Won't give us any trouble.
Hey, look here, kid. Now, take it easy. That's a shovel you got there, not a broom. Get some boards on that face before you take out any more sand.
It'll hold. If I stop now to put in boards, I'll lose time.
Time? What's time against your life, you young fool? Get some boards in there. Pack them with hay, I tell you.
I say, Joe, stop blackguarding the boy. He's a right fine sand auger, he is.
Yeah, you tell him, Frank. He thinks I'm still a kid. But I'll show him how to make trouble.
You crazy fool. Where's your ears? Even the air's trying to tell you to get some planks in there and close up that face. Wish I'd never seen the day I ever let you in the tunnel.
Hey, look, Dad. You better get some work done on your own side of the pocket or I'll have to come over there and help you.
Why, you young up
here. Here now, Joe. You ain't fixing to swipe your own boy with that shovel.
Oh, nice temper you've got. Maybe it was that between your mother, not me. Look, you work your end of the pocket and I'll work mine, see?
Hey, quit that kind of talk and remember what I said. Take it easy.
Take it easy, Steve.
Hey, Dad. Dad, it's raining. The air's going out. The face is gone.
What have you? Steve, I told you. It's a blow.
A blow.
Steve, we gotta put that on quick. Hand me shovel over it. Yeah, maybe that'll do it.
Dad, look. It's getting bigger. What do we do, Dad? What can we do?
Dump everything you can lay your hands on into that hole. Boards, hay, bags, tools, clothes, everything. In fact, give me that board.
Here. Try it, guys.
That might do it.
No. Here comes the bloody river.
Give me something else.
Everything.
Yeah. Anything, Dad.
Here's an
oval. All right. Now then, if we can only get...
There it is again.
It's no good, Joe. There's no stopping it now.
Everything has stuck right through.
Yeah, if only something could have caught across that, we have a chance. All right. Get him here. No, it's no use. Willie, get out of here, both of you.
Blimey, you. Come on where we can. I'm going, and I'm going fast.
The tunnel's filling up.
Get out, Steve, son. I can't hold it off anymore. Jump.
I can't, Dad. The gravel. It's piled up around me.
I'm caught.
What?
I'm caught, Dad. You get out. I can't.
Steve, listen. Something's got to be jammed in that hole. Give me a pipe, Steve. Anything. Anything, and we can stop the blow. Quick, son.
There's nothing left, Dad. Everything's gone into the break.
Nothing left? No. No, no. I'll find something, Steve.
It's you, Dad. There's nothing left, I tell you.
No. There is something left. There's one chance to plug that hole, Steve. Tell her. Tell your mother if this works. If the blow stops, tell her I sent you home.
Dad. Dad, don't.
Tell her, kid. Tell her I sent you back to her.
Ah! Dad!
His body stopped the blow, Steve. His body that saved you.
He was gone. Like that. He said, tell her I sent you back to her. And then he jumped.
He stole you from me. But he sent you back. He sent you back.
I've heard Borden Chase's story, High Air, adapted for Author's Playhouse by Jim Pease and directed by Mr. Harry Bubeck. Miss Fern Persons was heard as Laura Redman, Mr. Leo Curley as Joe Redman, and Mr. Ed Prentice as Steve. Supporting players in the cast of Author's Playhouse tonight included Mr. Michael Romano, Mr. Gilbert Ferguson, Mr. Sidney Elstrom, and Mr. Stanley Garden. The music was selected and played by Mr. Elwin Owen. Next week, same time, same station, Author's Playhouse will bring you the late Stephen Vincent Benet's humorous tale of wilderness days in America, The Sobbin' Women. Author's Playhouse was heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.